Hey, thanks for stopping by for this episode of the Lake Effect Podcast. Today, I'm going to visit with Andy Jarrett, who is the superintendent at the Castalia Fish Hatchery.
All the steelhead for Ohio are raised at the Castalia Hatchery.
Okay. Where'd you come from, and how long you been working here?
So I grew up in Monroeville, Ohio, so only about a half an hour south of here.
Okay.
And went to college and kind of bounced around. I was up at the Sandusky Fish Research Area, or station there for a while, and ended up coming to Castalia and been here ever since.
What do you guys do here? What's the main gist of your work? What's your product?
So the biggest thing, of course, is the catchable rainbow trout and the steelhead trout.
What's the difference?
Well, we get that question a lot. There really isn't much difference other than some genetic differences and the fact that typically steelhead are spending their life in a big, you know, large body of water like Lake Erie or one of the oceans versus a trout that are in a stream or a smaller pond or lake.
When you say catchable trout, rainbow trout, you're talking about the smaller fish that are released in smaller bodies of water that people tend to catch right away within a few weeks.
Right, so I think we're up to about 100 different lakes and ponds. A lot of them are small bodies of water around Ohio. The catchable trout are 10 to 12 inches long, about a half pound. So they're, when we're putting them in, there's a lot of times there's an event, and they're big enough to take home and clean and eat right away.
Okay. Is that amenable to people, maybe especially kids, that may not be able to get out to a big body of water and fish for other fish?
Yeah. So that's a lot of the idea with the program. A lot of those lakes and ponds, the first day, they'll have a big fishing event and lots of kids there. They're relatively easy to catch, and it's something that, you know, hopefully will really draw attraction to the kids and want to be anglers the rest of their life.
What is your job here? How many staff do you have, and what's your end product at the end of the year, and what do you start out with?
So right now we have 3 full-time staff, and we'll hopefully have a 4th one coming on board here shortly. Because of the water from the Blue Hole being warm enough, you know, it's an all-year process. It's about a year-long process when the fish first hatch till the time we're stocking them. So all year long, our main priority is trying to raise the fish and keep them safe and healthy. We get a lot of visitors, we get a lot of tours, so it's kind of a little bit of everything. It's like working on a farm / visitor center.
You know? You mentioned the Blue Hole. I've heard about that. What is that?
So the Blue Hole is one of the aquifers. There's actually several Blue Holes in the area, and they're basically big artesian wells, big artesian springs, where 50-degree water comes to the surface all year long.
Year-round, so it does not freeze.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have to treat that water, or is it ready to go for the fish?
So we do have to do some treatment to the water, mostly to get rid of the nitrogen that's high in the ground level, high in the groundwater, and then, of course, we need to make sure there's plenty of oxygen in there for the fish.
Okay. When you start out, when you first get the fish, they're already hatched? They're small fry, or...?
No, typically
they hatch here.
Yeah, we hatch them here. We have several different places where we get eggs. Some of them are what we call green eggs, which are eggs that have just been fertilized from the adult fish. And then a lot of the eggs that we bring back are what we call eyed eggs. And those are the eggs where if you look at them close, you can actually see the fish's eyes in them, that they're developed to the point that they're getting fairly close to hatch.
So you got 2 different products, the steelhead and the rainbow trout. Yep. Do they both take the same amount of time to raise, or what kind of timelines are you looking at?
Yeah, both of them are about a year-long process. The steelhead, a lot of them are coming from wild fish, either out of Lake Michigan, either in the Michigan side or the Wisconsin side. We've recently been going to Pennsylvania and collecting some eggs as well that are running out of Lake Erie. But all those fish, being that they're a little different than the rainbow trout, they're not as domesticated. They take they take the same amount of time before we stock them, but they're not near as big as the catchables.
Okay. How big are they when they're released?
So the steelhead are usually 7 or 8 inches.
Okay.
And then the catchables are just under a foot long on average.
What do they eat when they're here?
It's all commercial fish food. There's several companies. We're actually in the process right now of soliciting bids and trying to get a new vendor. But there are several companies across the U.S. that make commercial fish foods, which is mostly ground up fish, along with a lot of other proteins and minerals and vitamins. You know, the trout in general have been in production and been raised for over 100 years, so they kind of got kind of down pat on, you know, okay, what exactly.
So it's not a species specific food, it's just a general fish food.
Yeah, most of it is more of a trout specific.
Oh, okay.
There is some like catfish feeds and stuff, which obviously we don't use.
Is it Trout Chow? Purina Chow Chow?
We haven't ever used Purina brand here, but
do they make it?
Yeah, I know Purina does make some fish food.
Okay.
I don't know if they make Trout Chow or not, but they do make fish food.
The fish originate in different areas. Do you get them from the Division of Wildlife or Natural Resources from other states, or do you go collect them yourself, or both?
Yeah, a little of both. So a lot of the rainbows come from the Fish and Wildlife Service.
Okay.
One of the federal hatcheries has brood stock that they send aside eggs every year, and that's a program they have with a lot of different states where they do different programs. As far as the steelhead, there's a variety of sources. The Michigan DNR, the Wisconsin DNR, and the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission are all places that we've been working with to get steelhead
okay
eggs from.
I'm sure it varies year to year, but how many fish do you guys pump out?
So we shoot for about 450,000 steelhead into the tributaries.
Okay.
We're up to seven different tributaries, seven different rivers we stock in Lake Erie. And then the catchables, it varies a little bit, but usually we have around 85,000 catchable trout here.
All right.
Huh. So it equates to roughly 100, 120,000 pounds of fish altogether.
Okay. I've been here before, and it looks like sometimes you guys have some netting up over the raceways during the warmer months. Is there a problem with other animals that eat your fish?
Yeah. So I think just about every hatchery has some sort of problem. Fortunately, we have not seen any river otters show up here yet, because those are always a problem in a lot of hatcheries.
Okay.
But for us, it's more the herons and the egrets, in particular in spring and early summer. We have lots of eagles here year-round.
Right.
Try to keep them, obviously, away from the fish. Raccoons, mink. Trying to think of.
So you're telling me just about everything out there loves to eat your fish.
Oh, yeah. Just about anything that's looking for a free meal is going to try to get it if they can.
So you got the blue hole pumping out the water, and then you got a big long steel pole barn, and that's a covered raceway?
Yeah.
What happens in there?
So that's about 900 foot long, and that's all undercover, and it's all raceway.
Okay.
It's a channel, basically 10 foot wide and about 30 inches deep, and that's where all the steelhead are spaced out for
okay
the year. So we also have the rainbows in there for a portion of the year, but as we near the springtime, we run out of room over there for everything, so the rainbows are all over on what we call our Cold Creek Raceway now. The other portions are just water that we've already used, and it's discharged water going back into Cold Creek, or the Cold Creek itself. We have about a half mile stretch, and that's part of that area where we have the permit fishing, and you know, a lot of fish back there all year round.
Fishing?
Oh yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
What can you tell me? I feel like I've seen some programs around where you guys have some people come in and maybe do a little bit of fly fishing or learn some fly fishing here.
Yeah, so that's one of the cool things about the hatchery here, and some of it's hands-on for us and some of it's more hands-off. We have a couple different major programs. The one is the fly fishing clinics that you mentioned in the fall. And those are geared towards beginning or intermediate fly fishing and teaching people how to fly fish. And those all go on through our District 2 office, this area. And then we have the actual fishing lottery, During the month of March, people put in, they put a $3 application in, similar to the other deer hunts, turkey hunts, stuff like that. And if you get drawn, you can bring several of your friends or family members, and you come out for the morning, and you get a, you know, to all catch 5 trout and take them home.
I don't know if I like that. No. I mean, you guys just made these trout, and now people are going to walk off with them.
Well, I mean, that's the whole idea with these catchable trout. You know, we want to see as many people get them on their hooks and in their creels as they can. And the cool thing about Cold Creek is, you know, this is an area that most of these trout stay in once we put them in there. And some of these anglers, they come out, and they might have a 24 or 25-inch trout that's been in there for 3 or 4 or 5 years.
Wow, that's big.
So, yeah, there's some... some pretty cool opportunities.
Okay.
There.
You raise these fish, put a lot of time and effort into them. Do you ever get attached to them? Have you ever named a fish, Andy?
We haven't named them.
Okay. All right, now be honest. Be honest.
No, we talked about that before, and I don't think that we've ever named any. Once in a while, you'll see one that's a kind of a different color phase, or it'll kind of have a unique characteristic.
And uh-huh.
It's kind of neat to see something different.
What'd you name them?
I honestly don't remember.
All right.
I will tell you that all of us here, nobody that works here has an aquarium at home. So we got plenty of pet fish that we raise here all year long, and we don't want to go home and take care of more of them.
In your years here as superintendent, what's something bad that happened fish-wise here? Like any catastrophic events or thing that you just thought like, wow, this really sucks?
Well, we always got to worry about different diseases and stuff with the fish. We haven't, knock on wood, we haven't had any major catastrophes in the long time that I've been here. A couple years ago, we had a couple pumps that shut down, and typically we have lots of alarm systems to alert us to that. Unfortunately, the way it shut down that day, we did not get an alarm, and by the time we got in there, we had lots of fish piping at the surface and trying to get oxygen because they were running out of oxygen. But so far, we haven't lost year's production in
good
30 years or so that we've been here now.
Right now, we're gonna head over to the raceways where the fish actually live.
This is probably one of the less noisy locations of the raceway because if you look upstream, you'll see that we have a couple waterfalls as we go from upper section to middle section to lower section. And that just helps kind of separate stuff out, and it helps to aerate the water a little more to keep some extra oxygen going as the fish use it up.
Okay. Wow, a lot of fish in there.
Are these
rainbow or steelhead?
So these are all the steelhead.
Okay.
These are, we're 3 months or so out from hauling them into all the rivers. And right now I think they're about 5.5-6 inches long. We're shooting for about 7.5 inches by end of April.
And when you feed these guys and gals, is it by hand? You take a bucket and dump it in, or how does that work?
So for a lot of years, we used buckets and scoops, and 4 times a day, we'd be walking up and down the raceway, and we'd just be scooping and throwing. A few years ago, we came up with some feeders that we use now that actually use a leaf blower to blow the food out, and we can put the food in a hopper and open and close a valve to let the leaf blower blow the food in.
Is that because you guys are lazy?
No, it basically was, well, yeah, I guess you caught me on that one. No, but we did have a lot of issues. The guys and gals, their shoulders and elbows and everything were, you think right. about throwing 100,000 pounds of food a year, and
yes.
We had a lot of tennis elbow and a lot of sore shoulders going on.
When it's time for the fish to go, how do you get them out?
So we have an electric fish loader. It's kind of an enclosed.
Because you're lazy?
Yeah, you keep catching me. We're all lazy around here. No, it's called efficiency.
Okay.
We try not to work as hard as we have to,
okay.
I guess. But yeah, instead of lifting, 100,000 pounds of fish up onto a truck and handing them all up, we can weigh them out, dump them into this loader, and it's kind of a rubber paddled belt that takes them up and drops them right into the tanks for us.
Like harvesting crops.
Yeah, so, if you've ever seen like a baler machine where they pick the hay bales up and put them up into a hay mow, if you've ever been around a farmer, it's something similar to that. It kind of just winds them up and drops them.
You used to scoop them out with a big net by hand?
Yeah, we still scoop them out when they're in the water.
Okay.
And we still have to weigh them. All of our loading is done by weights. So we do calculations to figure out how many fish there are per pound of weight.
Okay.
And then we'll go from there and figure out how many pounds of fish we need to load in the truck.
Well, Andy, thank you so much for the tour. Thank you so much for letting me hang out with you at the hatchery and find out where these steelhead and rainbow trout come from in the state of Ohio. I certainly appreciate it, sir, and hopefully one day I'll see you somewhere around the lake.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. I'm sure I'll see you fishing somewhere.
Thanks for joining me today for this episode of the Lake Effect Podcast. I'm your host and producer, James Proffitt. Executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. If you have questions or want to learn more about Lake Effect, visit wgte.org/lakeeffect. Until then, I'll see you somewhere around the lake.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.